Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph. We were still on Yud Amud Beis. We were still on Yud Amud Beis. So I made 10 copies of this diagram. So thank God we have more than 10 chevra here, so just share it with others. It's important because this is a diagram of what the Mizbeach looked like during the times of the Second Temple. As you can see, there was a large ramp leading up to the Mizbeach. On the top of the Mizbeach, there were three big fires. There was the big fire in which the insides would be thrown, the insides of animals as part of a karban would be thrown. There was a smaller fire on which coals would be taken for the ketores, and in the very back there was a small fire to have a constant flame on the Mizbeach. But what's important for our purposes today, if you look here, this is a nice picture of the side of the Mizbeach. There was a strap painted in the middle of the Mizbeach. That was called the Chut HaSikra. And on top of the Chut HaSikra, there was a ledge called the Sovev. You could actually walk on this ledge. And then there was a wall. And on the very bottom, there was the foundation of the Mizbeach called the Yesod. We're going to learn today that the great majority of the Karbanos, their blood was thrown onto the altar over here, beneath the Chut HaSikra. But the Chatas and the Olas, their blood actually goes here on top of the Chut HaSikra. So that's a stringency, something that its blood goes on top of the Chut HaSikra. That's a uniqueness, and therefore maybe that is reflective of other laws that are unique to it. I will also learn today about a special disqualification, and I'll pass this sheet around as well. In the Beis HaMikdash, the great majority of the service was happening here, outside in the courtyard, near the Mizbeach. If someone were to slaughter an animal, catch the blood, and then walk the blood into the Heichal, into the building of the temple, and let's say do it on purpose, because he's planning to throw the blood on the parochet, something which is only done on Yom Kippur, but he's planning to do this with his toda, with his ola, with somebody's chatas. That is a separate psul, that's a separate disqualification, and that is a disqualification of deliberately bringing blood into the heichal with the intent of throwing it in the heichal instead of its normal place, throwing it on the mizbeach. And even if it was later brought out, it does remain disqualified.
Rabbi, okay. Is any of this blood ever cleaned off?
No.
The video you sent around was amazing.
That was helpful a little bit. Okay.
Rabbi, when did they do the shech? Right there on the ramp?
No, where you see these little lines, those are the hooks. They did the shechitah over there. They'd put the animal underneath the hook, and they would slaughter it there. Okay, so now, we are on the second wide line on Yud Amud Beis. We're discussing the view in the Mishnah of Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar says that the same way, Chata, Shalol Lishma, is Pasul, Asham, with the intent of Shalol Lishma, is disqualified based on a verse, Kachatas, Kasham. And we had a big brisa where there was a whole discussion between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Yehoshua. So, Amar Mar, we learned in this brisa. We're on the second line here of the wide lines on Yud Amud Beis. Amar Lo Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Lezer, you're saying that if the Chatas has the wrong intent, so the Asham also has the wrong intent, gets disqualified too. So Rabbi Yeshua says, back to Rabbi Lezer, Lo, maybe not. I don't agree. Im Amarta, right? If you're going to say that Imamarta Bachata, right? So he says lo, right? And he has a whole reason why. So the Gemara says, Lemelir Belezer, right? He says lo, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you that if it's true about the Chatas, it's true about the Asham, because there's a stringency with the Chatas. The Chatas, Damo Lamala, The chatas, its blood, goes above the chuta sikra. Whereas if its blood went here, beneath the chuta sikra, becomes pasul. The asham is always beneath the chuta sikra. So the asham has a leniency. So maybe has another leniency. It could be slaughtered shalo lishma. That was his question. So Gemara now says, "Vale malay." Now, why didn't Rabbi Yeshua say, "Lo, we might to bechatas"? The reason why chatas should be different than asham. Shekein if the stamul of nayv lufnim, because the right. I'm a second. The second line. We learned before. I'm a Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Lo, I don't agree with you." Rabbi Lezer, "Even Ma'ar Tzabachata, Shekein Double Amal Michut Asikra." Tomer Ba'ashim Shekein Double Amal Michut Asikra. I'm going to say with the Chatas, there's a law that has to be for the right intent because the Chatas has a stringency. Its blood goes above the Chut Asikra. The Asham, its blood goes beneath the Chut Asikra. So the Gemara says, "One second, Lema Le, Rabbi Lezer. So why doesn't Rabbi Lezer say to him, Asham Nami Double Amal?" Well, if I compare Asham to Chatas, to say that just like Chatas has to be for the right intent, Asham has to be for the right intent. So just like Chatas has to be above the Chut HaSikra, Asham also should have to be above the Chut HaSikra. Amar Abaye answered, Asham Dama L'mal L'matzis Amrit. You can't say that the Asham, its blood, should be above the Chut HaSikra. Because Kal V'chomer mi Ola, because we derive from Ola. Huma Ola she kalil. Ola, every part of it gets burned. Wow, so that's a great stringency. And yet, Dama L'mata, its blood is beneath the Chut HaSikra. Asham, she'eino kalil. The Asham doesn't have every part burned. The Asham, ultimately, only pieces get burned. I took a picture of how they did the Asham. But here, they would throw a piece into the fire, and then they would cook most of the meat, and they would eat it. So the Asham doesn't all get burned. So the Asham, which doesn't all get burned, so therefore, certainly, it goes beneath the Chut HaSikra. So therefore, certainly the Asham is beneath the Chut HaSikra. That's what the Gemara suggests.
Remember, where do they cook what they didn't throw on the altar?
What's that?
Where do they cook what they didn't throw on the altar generally?
On the floor there in the Beis HaMikdash.
There was like a little barbecue pit or something separate.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of fires going on in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, one second, but Mala Ola Shkinen Mechaperis. Maybe the reason why the Ola is not on top of the Chut HaSikra, its blood is beneath the Chut HaSikra, because the Ola, as we learned yet the other day, is a Doron, it's a gift, not really wiping away a sin. But the Asham, which wipes away a sin, should be above the Chut HaSikra. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, no. Chatas Ov Tochiach. If you have a bird which is a Chatas, that should be a proof. Because there it is Mechaper, and it's also not above the Chut HaSikra. Mala Chatas Ov, but the Chatas Ov, Shkeinim in Zevach, doesn't get slaughtered, it just has Malika. You don't use a knife to cut off the head of the oaf. You just use the fingernail to flick off the top. So one second, Ola Tochiach, but an Ola does have a Shkita. And even though it has a Shkita, it's not on top of the Chut HaSikra. So Lo Rei Zekri Zeh, the characteristic of this one, namely Malika, is not like the characteristic of this one, that all of it gets burnt. The characteristic of all of it getting burned is not the characteristic of it just being chopped, just being flicked off with the fingernail. But what is the common denominator? Ola is katshe kachim. Their blood is underneath the Chut HaSikra. Afani avi asham. So I'll derive from them asham too, which is also kodesh kadashim. And therefore, damo lamata, its blood should be beneath the Chut HaSikra. Amalei Rava mi Parzakaya. Rava from Parzakaya said to Ravashi, "V'lifroch." And why don't we ask? V'malatzad hashava shepahen shekinim lehen kitzba. But chatas ha'of and ola, the Torah doesn't tell you a certain minimum amount of money that you need to spend on them. Just as you can get any bird, if birds are very cheap, you don't have to spend much money at all. Whereas with the asham, the Torah says you have to spend 2 shkalim on it. So maybe because it has a stringency that you have to spend a certain basic amount on it, maybe also it will have another stringency that it should be on top of the Chut HaSikra, and it shouldn't be underneath the Chut HaSikra. Tomer ba'asham sheyesh lo kitzba, an asham that you have to spend 2 shkalim on it. So the Gemara says, well, ela hainu time of Rebbe Elazar. So I'll tell you a different source. What's the source of Rebbe Elazar that the asham is beneath the Chut HaSikra? The pasuk says in regards to the chatas, hakohen amechate osa, the kohen who does atonement with it, saying osa dama lamala, her blood is on top, ein dama shlach lamala, but nobody else's blood is going to be on top. Ihachi, so if that's the case, So chatas nami neima. So why don't we say it also like this? Osa lishma. With her, it's got to be lishma. Sheira. And that's the only way it's kasha. Shalo lishma. If it wasn't lishma, then the chatas is possible. Hashar is vachem, but in all other karbanos, bein lishma, bein shalo lishma, sheira. But whether it's lishma or not, it'll be kasha. So no, hahu osa lav dafka. That, to say osa is saying that only chatas has to be lishma can't be. Because we have psukim telling us that Pesach has to be lishma. So clearly when it says osa, it by chatas is not to saying that only chatas has to be lishma, dashir Pesach. So Gemara says, one second. So why do you say that the word osa says that only chatas has to be above the chuta sikra? Hachanami lav dafka dashir ola sa'of. The ola of a bird, its blood ends up on top of the chuta sikra. So you see that the chuta sikra is not only chatas. Well, bezvichami alo shir midi. But in terms of animals that are slaughtered, you don't have anything other than the chatas going above the chuta sikra. The ola sa'of, as we've learned, is not slaughtered. Its top is just flipped off with the thumb of the kohen. Viba is saying, well, generally I can tell you, Hamani, who is this? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimoni. Maybe this is the view of Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon. In other words, maybe Rabbi Elazar agrees with Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon. So Amar, who says that the ola sa'of and the chatas, actually, their bloods go to different places. Hai makam l'chud, the ola sa'of, he says, goes on top. V'hai makam l'chud, whereas the chatas, its blood actually goes even higher than on top. It goes on the corner itself. So since it's in different places, they're really osa. The chatas is unique. Nothing else is where it goes.
All these laws, were they for the Mishkan before
yes.
They had the Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah, and for the Beit HaMikdash. That's right.
So they carried all
the mm-hmm. Yeah. The Tanya is going to Braisa. Dama tachtonim. Blood, it has to go beneath the chuta sikra, nitmi chuta sikra lamata. They go underneath this chuta sikra. So all the various karbanos, shlamim, pesach, everything goes over here, beneath the chuta sikra. However, v'helyonim, but the two things which have the blood on top, namely the chatas, and the olasa of michut hasikra lamala, they're on top, above the chut hasikra. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon disagrees a little bit. The olasa of goes over here. It gets squeezed onto this part above the chut hasikra. But the chatas of an animal, he atmin an asel al gufa shel karen. The blood has to go literally on the corner itself, even higher than what's above the chuta sikra. It has to be on the very corner itself. It has to be on the corner itself. Okay, two dots on the bottom of Yudam and Beis. It's not also in the Mishnah. Shahai Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva used to say, Kaldam shenichnesu leheicha lechaper. Any time somebody brings blood into the heicha, remember, all the service except for the blood, the service of Yom Kippur and the blood of the par, Elam Davar Shel Tzibur, blood is going here onto the altar. But let's say somebody took blood and brought it into the heichal with the intent lachaper, with the intent of creating atonement. He had the intent. It was a regular shlamim, but he decides, I'm going to treat my shlamim like a Yom Kippur karban. And a kohen walks in with the blood of the shlamim into the heichal with the intent to throw it on the parochet, on the curtain, separating the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh. Psulim, that disqualifies it. It's a special pasuk in Parshas Chav. The chacham say, no, this is only true with chatas bilvad. Only the chatas has this psul of dama nichnas leflim. And Rebbe Elazar Omer, the same way it has it with chatas afa asham, it also has it with asham, just like in our Mishnah we learned that the disqualification of shalo lishma, Rebbe Elazar says, is not only in chatas, it's only in asham. The disqualification of dama nichnas leflim is not only with chatas, according to Rebbe Elazar, it's also with asham. Shenamar, what's the source of Rebbe Elazar at the same time? Kachatas, kasham, the pasuk says, like the chata, so shall be the asham. Now, Bishmael, Rebbe Elazar could have come a time. Rebbe Elazar, we understand what he says, because the pasuk links the two. El Rabbanan, my time. But why would the Rabbanan only have this disqualification with chatas? The pasuk linked the two. Amar Rava. Rava explained, asham nichnas dam lifnim pasul omatzis amrit. To say that with an asham, if the blood was taken into the heichal with the intent of throwing it on the parochet, the bloods become disqualified. You can't say, because kal v'chomer me ola. Again, as we just learned, you derive from ola. Turning now to Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, today's daf. Ola shu kalim. Ola, every part of it is burnt. And yet, if the blood was taken inside to the building of the Heichal, the Ola is still kosher. So Asham She'enu Kalil, where we don't have every part burnt, most of it is actually eaten by Kohanim. Lo Kol Shekein, then certainly if you take some of the blood inside, it wouldn't become disqualified. I said, no, but Mala Ola Shekeinu Mechaperes. The Ola, maybe when the blood goes inside, it doesn't become disqualified, because an Ola doesn't really create atonement for a sin. It's just a gift. Whereas the Asham is creating atonement for a sin, so maybe it would become disqualified when it goes inside. So Gemara says, I'll answer you from Minchas Chotei Tochiach. There are lots of different types of menachos. One type of mincha is a mincha brought by an impoverished sinner. We learned that there's something called the sliding scale carbon, the carbon olav yored. If somebody is dali dalos, poorer than the poor, then all he has to bring is a mincha. He has to bring some flowers. That's called Minchas Chotei. So Minchas Chotei should be a proof that if somebody brought the Minchas Chotei inside, it creates kapara. And yet if somebody brought the Minchas Chotei inside the Heichal with the intent of putting some of this flour on the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden altar, or throwing it onto the Parochet, it wouldn't become disqualified. So the Gemara says. So there you see that kapara is not the reason why there would be a disqualification of Nichnas Lefnim. Lema. So why was that the answer? Why didn't Rava say Chatas Ouf Tochiach? Well, Chatas Ouf also doesn't have a disqualification if it goes inside. Namely, you don't catch the blood of the Chatas Ouf. You take the bird and you squeeze it against the altar. But if you actually took the bird inside before you squeezed it against the altar, there is no psul of Nichnas Lefnim. There is no disqualification that it went inside. So Gemara says, well, maybe we're not sure about that. Bayad Reb Avin. That's really a question of Reb Avin. Maybe there is a disqualification of Chatas Ouf if it was taken inside. For Lifrach, why didn't he say, Mal Minchas Chot? Why don't we ask, what about Minchas Chot? Minchas Chote, Shekein Eina Min Zevach. That's not something which is slaughtered. So the answer is, that's not a question. Because Ola Tochiach, Ola is also, Ola is slaughtered, and nevertheless, it does become disqualified by going inside. So the Chazar Adin, so you have to keep looking for the common denominator. Lori Izek, your Izek. The characteristic of this one of Ola, that it's Kalil, is not like the characteristic of this one of Minchas Chotei, which is Machaper, which atones. Lori Izek, your Izek. The characteristic of atonement is not like the characteristic of entirety being burned. But that's not a Shavash, remember the common denominator. Minchas Chotei is Kachay Kachim, is the holiest of holies. Ola's kachay kachim. Nichnas damon lefnim cherin. Even if the blood was taken inside the building of the Heichal with the intent of throwing it, or with the intent of putting some of the flour on the parochet, it still stays kosher. Nichnas damon lefnim is cherin. Nichnas lefnim cherin. Afani avi asham. So I can derive from that asham. Hu kodesh kadashim. It's also holiest of holies. And I'll tell you that even if nichnas damon lefnim, even if the blood goes inside, it stays kosher. Amale Rav Mi Barnish, Rav Ashi. So Rava from Barnish said to Rav Ashi, "V'lifrach, we should ask a question. Mal atzad hashava shebehen, but the common denominator between Ola and Minchas Chotei, shekein ein lahem kitzba. The Torah never gave them a minimum amount of money you need to spend on them. Tomer ba'asham, unlike an asham, sheyesh lo kitzba. The Torah says you have to spend at least 2 shekel on the asham. So since the asham has the stringency of you have to spend at least 2 shekel on the asham, maybe it has another stringency that if its blood went inside, it becomes disqualified. So this is the reason of the rabbis why they think that if the blood goes inside of the asham, it doesn't become disqualified. The pasuk says, "Dama her blood." Dama shel zuvulo dam shel acher. The blood of the chatas gets disqualified when it's taken inside, but not the blood of anything else, not the blood of an asham. The idach, what's Rabbi Elazar going to say? Dama velo basar. It's to say her blood would make a disqualification if it goes inside, not the flesh if it went inside. The idach, the other one will tell you, dam, could have said dam. Why did it say dama? That's to say only its blood. And the fact that it said blood is to say blood and not flesh, not meat. The idach, the other one will tell you, dam, dam, alo darish. That it should have said dam. Why did it say dama? He doesn't think it's a drasha, because that's just the language of the Torah, dama, her blood. So there's nothing to learn from that. Okay, Ishmael Rabbanan, and I can understand according to the Rabbanan the army who say, Asham Shishachta Shalol Shmo Kasher, that if an Asham is slaughtered for the wrong consecration, it's still Kasher. Hainu Diskash Mincha Lachatas Ula Asham. That's why I understand that there's a pasuk later that will compare Mincha both to Chatas and to Asham. As we'll see, the Tanya Lindin Abraisa, Rabbi Shimon says, the verse says, Kodesh Kadashim Hi, the Mincha is the holiest of the holies. Kachatas v'Kasham. It's both like Chatas and it's like Asham. So why does it say that? So Reb Shimon says, it says that for the following reason. Minchas Chotei, a Mincha brought by a sinner who swore falsely and he has to bring a carbon olive yard and he's the poorest of the poor. Harei Kachatas is like a Chatas. Because it says Mincha is like a Chatas and says sometimes Mincha is like an Asham. So the Mincha v'Chotei is like a Chatas. Now, Leficha Kmatza Shalo L'Shma Psula. In the mincha, the taking, the three fingers taking of the flour is the equivalent of the slaughtering of an animal. All the services of the mincha parallel the acts of the service of an animal. So slaughtering is paralleled by taking the three fingers of flour. Dropping the three fingers worth of flour into a kli sharis is the equivalent of kabbalah, of catching the blood. Walking the three fingers worth of flour over to the altar is the equivalent of holacha, walking the blood over to the altar. Throwing the pan with the three fingers, the pan with the three fingers worth of flour, emptying the pan into the fire is the equivalent of zrika. That's the equivalent of throwing the blood on the altar. So the Gemara says like this: if you did a kmitza shelo lishma, not for the sake of minchas chote, let's say for some other thing, then psula gets disqualified. However, minchas nedava, the pasuk said that a mincha is also like an asham. Minchas nedava, reika asham. If a person's donating a mincha, that's like an asham. And therefore, leficha kmatza shelo lishma, if he did kmitza for the wrong intent, not for the minchas nedava, but for something else, ksheira, it'll still be kasha. Just like an asham, shelo lishma is kshasha. El Reb Elazar, but according to Reb Elazar, you can't say that, because Reb Elazar holds that an asham for the wrong intent is the same as a chatas for the wrong intent. So why does the Torah link mincha to chatas and asham? Why does the Torah link mincha both to chatas and to asham? So my answer is, according to Reb Elazar, l'chiyudach Rabbi Shimon, it's to teach you something else, something about Rabbi Shimon, that technically you could even have a mincha kasher where they didn't put the three fingers worth of flour into a pan, they just walked the three fingers worth of flour up to the altar and threw it directly into the fire. The Tanakh is under the Mishnah. According to the Tanakh, Kama Shaloba Kvisharei's Psula, if the three fingers of flour are not put into a pan, you just take the three fingers worth of flour. Then the Kohen walks up on top of the altar and he throws it into the fire, it's possible. However, Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Rabbi Shimon says it is kosher. V'am Rabbi Yehuda b'ed Rabbi Chiya, my time is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Chiya, explained what's the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon. It's this pasuk. Amar Krav, the pasuk says about the mincha. Kodesh, kadoshim hi, it's holiest of holies. Kachatas, vikha asham, it's like the chatas and like the asham. So why say it's like the chatas and the asham? We could have just said it's like the chatas. So to tell you like this, bal ov de biyad, if he wants to do the service just with his hand, it's okay. Ov de biyamin kechatas, as long as he's carrying it with his right hand, and he walks over to the altar, and he walks on top of the ramp, and he throws it into the fire, like the chatas with the right hand, it's okay. But bikli, if he wants to do it by putting the three fingers into a utensil, and walking the utensil up to the top of the altar, and then emptying the utensil into the fire, that's also okay. Ov de besmol, and then he doesn't have to throw it with his right hand, he can throw it with his left hand. Ka'asham like the asham. Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Shimon, Haikra mapik le'lahachi u'mapik le'lahachi, can he use the same pasuk for both things? Use the same pasuk to teach me that a mincha can be offered shelo l'shma if it's a minchas nedava, plus to teach me that a mincha done by hand, it's also okay as long as you use the right hand? The Gemara answers, La'ikar kra l'kid Rabbi Yehuda b'ed Rabbi Chiya hu da'asa. Primarily, the pasuk according to Rabbi Shimon is to teach you the idea that a mincha can be done just by hand without putting it into a utensil. Learning from the asham, minchas chote the psula shelo lishma, and the reason why a minchas chote, a very poor person is bringing a mincha as his sin offering, that it would be disqualified if it was for the wrong intent. Time achrinahu. That's a different source for that. Chatas time amai. What's the reason of a chatas tachsiv bei he? Says he, it, so it has to be brought the way it is, it can't be for some other consecration. Minchas nami has that word, minchas chote nami, the minchas chote as well, ksiba, the pasuk says he. Ul rabbanan who hold that a minchas chote doesn't have to be lishma, lamai hilchasa, according to what? Iskash asham lachatas, what are they gonna, according to the rabbanan, disagree, I'm sorry, the rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar. They hold that an asham, that its blood is going inside, doesn't become disqualified. They hold that an asham doesn't have to be done lishma. So lamai hilchasa iskash asham lechatas. Why is asham compared to chatas? Why does the Torah link the two? L'malachatz to tell you, machatas to unasmicha, just like you have to lean on the head of the chatas, af asham to unasmicha. So to the asham, you have to lean on the head of the asham. And here we have this nice diagram. Our holy Jew brought his asham to the Beis HaMikdash. He has to lean on it. Then they put it down on the floor underneath the hook. They slaughter it. They catch the blood. They walk the blood over to the Mizbeach. They throw the blood underneath the Sota Sikra. They pour the rest of the blood on the foundation. Then they take it and they skin it. And after they skin it, they take out the piece, that the fats that have to be burned, and a little bit of the intestines. They walk up onto the altar. They put some salt on it, go to the top of the altar. The kohen makes a bracha. Asher kitshanu b'kdushaso shel Aharon v'tzivanu lahaktir es ha'asham. He throws it into the fire, walks out, makes a nice big pot. They cook the meat of the asham, and the kohanim sit in the Beis HaMikdash eating the meat of the asham.
What happens to the holy Jew?
What's that?
What happens to the holy Jew after he sort of escorts the animal to the kohen?
He watches.
He just watches. He's a viewer.
He's a viewer, yeah. He can't do anything.
Is that because he was a pious? Or he was
very pious. Question. Well, there are lots of differences. Chatat is for a sin that, were it done on purpose, would have gotten karet, if it was done by mistake. Asham is for all sorts of things, like a nazir brings an asham, a mitzora brings an asham. One of the differences we just saw now, that the asham blood is beneath the chutas sikra, the chatas blood is on top of the chutas sikra. The chatas blood is bifingered on each corner. There are lots of differences, but it was one of the differences. Okay.
The flour, is it regular flour, or is it a different?
Fine flour. It's
fine.
Beaten good. It's very, very fine flour. Sure, these are two different pictures. You have to get excited, you know. All the kohanim, you guys are going to have a lot to eat, Bezrat Hashem, very soon, hopefully. Okay, so going back to the Mishnah said, Yosef ben Choni Omer, Yosef, the son of Choni, said it depends. Anishchatim, l'shem Pesach, l'shem Chatas Psulin. If it was slaughtered for a Pesach or for a Chatas, it also becomes disqualified. Rabbi Yochanan said, Yosef ben Choni in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Lezer in the following Braisa, Amru Davar Echa. They both teach the same thing. Rabbi said, Ba'acherim l'shem chatas pligi. Actually, they argue about other karbanos slaughtered as a chatas. D'tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Ha'pesach sh'av rashnaso, Pesach has to be brought when it's a year old. Let's say they didn't bring it on time and it grew up. It's too old now. It's 2 years old. Vishachto, and it's slaughtered. So, bismano, if it was slaughtered on Erev Pesach, lishmo, as a Pesach, v'chenach shochet acherim l'shem Pesach, or if you took an animal that had been consecrated as a shlamim and you slaughtered as a Pesach, bismano, you slaughtered on the eve of Pesach. For, as a Pesach, Rebbe Lezer posts it. Rebbe Lezer disqualifies it. Rebbe Yeshua machshir. Rebbe Yeshua says it's still kosher. Rabbi Yeshua said like this, in B'Shayimos Hashanah, if the other days of the year, not Erev Pesach, Sheino Kasher L'Shmo, that which has the consecration of Pesach wouldn't be kosher if it's slaughtered as Pesach on the other days of the year. Yet Acherim, Sheirim L'Shmo, other karbanos, let's say a Shlamim, slaughtered as Pesach on the 12th of Nisan, would be kosher. So Bizmano, on Erev Pesach, Shehu Kasher L'Shmo, when the Pesach itself will be kosher for its sake, Eino Din Sheyuchshu Acherim L'Shmo, so other things slaughtered as Pesach should also be kosher. Belezer said to him, Ochiluf Advarim, but I could make that type of logic going the opposite. Umayim b'shayimos hashanah sheino kasher l'shmo. The other days of the year, the Pesach itself slaughtered as Pesach is no good. Yet kasher hu l'shem acherim, but if the Pesach would be slaughtered as shlamim, the other days of the year would be kasher. Bizmano, so on Erev Pesach, shu kasher l'shmo, when the Pesach slaughtered as Pesach is kasher, enu din sheyuchshu l'shem acherim. So certainly if the Pesach would be slaughtered as shlamim, it should be kasher. Pesach slaughtered as shlamim is kasher the whole year. So say, if it's kasher the whole year, it should be kasher on Erev Pesach. V'yuchshar Pesach b'arba asr shelo l'shmo. Using logic, you could say that a Pesach slaughtered for something else on Erev Pesach is kasher. But how can you do that? We have psukim saying that that's not the case. V'chacha t'omerli, mal yuchshi acherim b'sharimo sashan l'shmo, shekein hu kasher l'shem acherim. V'yuchshu acherim b'zmano l'shmo, shekein hu pasul l'shem acherim. So what are you telling me? That if others I could say it's kosher. I'm the Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Im Kain, if you're going to do that, hur asa." Right? I'm sorry. V'chach atza omer li. So the Gemara says, how can you say that? V'chikach atza omer? Can you say such a thing? How could you say such a thing that, you know, Pesach slaughtered on Erev Pesach, Shalol Lishmo, would be kosher? You can't say that. And another problem with this Kal V'chomer. Mali Huchsheru Acherim. When you have other karbanos that are slaughtered as a Pesach and they're kosher, V'shayimos HaShana Lishmo, then on the other days of the year when they're slaughtered as Pesach, Shekein hu kosher l'shem achem, because of the other days of the year, the Pesach itself, were it to be slaughtered as a shlamim, is also kosher. But yuchshu acherim bizmano l'shmo, but does that mean that you're going to kosher other karbanos slaughtered on Erev Pesach as Pesach? Shekein hu pasul l'shem achem, on Erev Pesach, the Pesach slaughtered for something else is pasul. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says back to Belazer, Imkain, if you're true, if you're right, that other karbanos slaughtered as a Pesach on Erev Pesach are pasul, then horasa koach Pesach v'nasata koach b'shlamim. So actually in Pesach, it's less likely that the slaughtering of Shalol Lishma would pasul. Because the shlamim, if it's slaughtered as Pesach, becomes pasul. Whereas Pesach, it's only on Erev Pesach that if it's slaughtered as shlamim would become pasul. So Chazer Belazer v'dano. So Belazar then went back and he said that the source of the disqualification that all karbanos slaughtered as a Pesach on Erev Pesach are disqualified is din acher. It's from a different source. Matzinu mosar Pesach bashlam. If you have a leftover Pesach, it's offered as a shlam. But ein mosar shlamim ba Pesach. A leftover shlamim is not brought as a Pesach. So therefore, I'll say like this: Uma Pesach shemosar abo shlamim. Pesach, if it's leftover, can be brought as a shlamim. And yet shchato bezman olishum shlamim pasul. If you slaughter it on Erev Pesach as a shlamim, it becomes pasul. So even though the default of a Pesach is a shlamim, if it was slaughtered as a shlamim, it's pasul. Shlamim shein mosarin ba Pesach. So shlamim, that their default is not Pesach. So certainly, im shachtel l'shem Pesach bizmano, if they're slaughtered as a Pesach on Erev Pesach, in adin shiupsum, certainly they should be pasul. Turning the page now, Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said back, no. Matzinu mosar chatas ba'ola. The leftover chatas is brought as an ola. And oin moser ola bachatas, but the leftover ola is not brought as a chatas. And we don't say such a kal v'chomer. According to you, we should say, ma chatas shemosara ba'ola. Here the leftover chatas is brought as an ola. And yet, shchat l'shem ola psula, if you slaughter a chatas as an ola, it's disqualified. Ola shein mosara bachatas, an ola whose leftover is not brought as a chatas. Shchat l'shem chatas, if it's slaughtered as a chatas, ain't odin shtei psula, certainly should become possible. We know it's not true. An ola slaughtered for something else is not disqualified. Amalur Belezer. Belezer said back, lo, that's not a proof. Imamarta bachatas. Well, if you're talking about a chatas, shekein kshera lishma kalashana kula. A chatas is only kasher lishma throughout the year. Tomer bepesach, but in Pesach sheino kasher lishmo el bismano. Pesach the whole year, if it's not done lishmo, it is kasher. It's not, it's the disqualification of lishma is only on Erev Pesach. So, ho, upsul lishmo, dinu shi pasul achayim lishmo. So, since it's disqualified when it was done for Pesach throughout the year, so it makes sense that on Erev Pesach, if it was slaughtered, if something else was slaughtered as a Pesach, it should be disqualified. So, Rebbe Lezer doesn't respond to Rebbe Yoshua, and that's why Rabbah felt that you see that according to Rebbe Lezer, in regards to a chatas, if something was slaughtered as a chatas, something non-chatas, slaughtered as a chatas throughout the year, it doesn't become disqualified, and therefore Rabbi Elazar here does not agree with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Choni. All right, going on to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had the final view, the view of Shimon Achi Azariah. It depends if it was slaughtered for something higher of holiness or lower of holiness. Shimon Achi Azariah. Rav Asi Mashna Mishmed Rav Yochan. Rav Asi taught in the name of Rav Yochan. Rav Acha Brei the Rav Masni Mishmed Rav Yani. Rav Acha taught in the name of Rav Yana. My time is Shimon Achi Azariah. What's the source of Shimon Achi Azariah? That if you go up in holiness, it stays kosher. If you go down in holiness, it becomes pasul. So America, because the pasuk says, "V'lo yechalu es kachei bnei Yisrael," it's a sheyarimu laHashem, and they shall not desecrate the sacred items of the Jewish people, that which they lift up to Hashem. Bemura mehen, if you slaughtered for something of a higher holiness, and mischalin, then they don't become desecrated. Namuch mehen, but if it's of a lower holiness, mischalin, they become desecrated. V'haylach yudas, is that what you're using this pasuk for? From your brother, look at Shmuel. This pasuk is for the lesson of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel said, "Minayin lo ochel es hatevel shubamisa." How do we know that if somebody eats grain that shumos haven't been separated from them yet, he gets death like he's like a czar, like a non-Kohen eating truma? Shenemar v'lo yichalu es kachim bnei Yisrael es asher yarimu laHashem, and they shall not desecrate the sacred items of the Jewish people that will be lifted up to God. Ba'asid and litzum akasim etabrit, talking about a pile of grain where out of it you will take out truma. Imkain, if that was the point of the pasuk, lichtov kra, the pasuk should have said asher hurmu, that which was lifted, if it was for the lesson of Shimon, the brother of Azariah. My asher yarimu, why does it say that which they will lift? Shmami no taiti, that's a teacher of second law about eating tevel, about eating grain, that shumos weren't taken from it. By Reb Zeir, Reb Zeir had a question in the view of Shimon Achi Azariah. Again, Shimon, the brother of Azariah, says if it was slaughtered for something of a higher holiness, it's okay. For a lower holiness, it's not okay. So what does it mean okay? Sharon, it's okay, but a meratzin, it's not going to work for the owner. There's only one matter that the Chacham are arguing with Reb Shimon, the brother of Azariah. Odinwa, maybe Ksheirin, when he says if it's slaughtered for a higher holiness, it's kosher, af meratzin even creates atonement to v'tarti pligi. And they argue about 2 points. Amar Abai v'tem Reb Zrika, Abai, some say it's Reb Zrika, said Tashma, come here from the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives examples of slaughtered for a higher holiness. Habachar va'maiser sheshachtan l'shem shlamim. Bachar and maiser slaughtered for a shlamim are ksheirin, because the shlamim has more services than bachar and maiser. Shlamim sheshachtan l'shem bachar l'shem maiser psun. But a shlamim slaughtered as bachar is possible. V'isal katayitach, if you're going to think, ksheirin umiratzin, they're holy. Plus, they work for their owner. Bachar by ritzuyu. Bachar is not accomplishing anything. There's no sin that's being wiped away by offering the bachar. Hello, what does it mean, ksheirin, in regards to Bechor? It's kosher v'emaratzin, and they don't create any accomplishment. So we need to say for sins in the end, the case of a Bechor slaughtered as a shlamim, is that ksheirin v'emaratzin, reishanami, when it's kachim kalim, slaughtered as kachim kachim, it's ksheirin v'emaratzin. It's holy, but it doesn't create any atonement. Why says, Mediri, why do you say that? Hakadisa v'hakadisa. Maybe the top is one way, the bottom is another way. Elamai kamashman. So 1 second, if the Gemara is not telling you this, what is it teaching you, the Mishnah? It's teaching you what's high, what's low. Tanina, we laughed at many Mishnayos. Ketzah kachim kachim, sheshachtam l'shem kachim kalim. The Mishnah said, kachim kachim, slaughtered for a kachim kalim is low. So when it says, Ma'adah, Tim would have thought to say kachim kachim and kachim kalim with the ika gavoah v'namach. Between kachim kachim and kachim kalim, there's a higher and a lower. Aval kalim v'kalim. But within kachim kalim, that a shlam is more than a bechor, I wouldn't think that. It's all the same, I might think. Low. So then I have to tell you that a shlam is more than a bechor. We learned that in another Mishnah. Shlam kodmin, it's a Bechor. Shlam are brought before Bechor. Because they have 4 gifts of blood. Usmicha, you have to lean on them. Unasachim, and they get wine. Utsnufas, chazar v'shok, and you wave the chest and the thigh. So Gemara says, Ha'ikar, this was the main place to teach you this lesson. Vahi, agrara, naspa. There was just dragged along with the other lesson in that Mishnah. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha, Meretz HaKadosh Baruch